KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music. If it is geek, it's on Robots Attack. Participate on the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at RobotsAttackMe, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack, the one and only geek central talk show here on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, the underground sound. I am Joe, and with me, of course, is...
Caleb.
And we are here to entertain you for the next 2 hours.
Woo!
That's right. Thursday night, the weekend kicks off early.
Oh, yeah.
Here on KSCU, when Robots Attack starts. I'm sure you're like, really? Yes,
totally.
Really.
Seriously, it does.
If you're not familiar with our show, as I mentioned, we are a geek-centric talk show. We talk about... tech news, comic books, movies, video games.
Space.
Time travel.
Wibbly-wobbly, timey-wimey stuff.
All that good stuff. And in between each of our segments, we play a little bit of music.
Mm-hmm.
Mostly a lot of local stuff because that's what the radio station wants us to play since we are a specialty show. But doesn't matter.
It's still good.
Yeah.
Most of it.
Most of the time. Can't lie. Sometimes
it's a bit of a surprise. Guys, we'll leave it at that.
For all of us. But hey, you know what? Who doesn't love surprises?
Every now and then.
Exactly. All right. We got a great show for you tonight. You're definitely going to want to stick around for that. And what we like to do at the beginning of the show, new releases.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the theater this weekend, there's a handful of some movies that you might be interested in.
Mm-hmm.
First, we have Chef. This one is about Chef Carl Jasper, played by Jon Favreau. Mm-hmm. He loses his restaurant job, so he starts up a food truck in an effort to reclaim his creative promise while piecing back together his estranged family. If you're not into food-type movies, you might want to check out... Close that, please. Neighbors. This one, you've probably seen some TV commercials for this one. It's got Seth Rogen and Zac Efron.
Oh, like, yeah.
Dueling
yeah.
each other. A young couple with a newborn baby face unexpected difficulties after they are forced to live next to a fraternity house. You can imagine which one is part of the fraternity and which one is the family with the newborn.
Mm-hmm.
If that doesn't float your boat, maybe you want to check out Mom's Night Out.
Hey.
This one is, don't do that phone. All Allison and her friends want is a peaceful grown-up evening of dinner and conversation. A long-needed mom's night out. But in order to enjoy high heels, adult conversation, and food not served in a paper bag, they need their husbands to watch the kids for 3 hours. What could go wrong?
Yeah. Oh, those silly husbands.
Exactly. And if you feel like some animated-y type movies, there's Legends of Oz, Dorothy's Return. Dorothy's only just returned home from her first incredible journey to Oz, but she's already being called back for another adventure. After waking to post-tornado Kansas, Dorothy, voiced by Lea Michele, and Toto, doesn't have a voice provided, so who knows who it is. Maybe a PA or somebody else. Hey, do a Toto.
Toto as Toto.
Yeah. So. The band? Our whisked to Oz on a magical rainbow mover sent by their old friends the Scarecrow, voiced by Dan Aykroyd, the Lion, voiced by Jim Belushi, and the Tin Man, voiced by Kelsey Grammer.
Yeah.
That's
quite the menagerie
there. let's see.
I've also heard that the movie is actually rather good, despite the fact that it's not one of the major animation houses.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it yet myself, just what I hear.
Rumors and stuff, all right. Yeah, that's a nice little handful of some things, a nice variety that you may or may not want to check out.
But. Yeah. Let's see. If you're in the mood for a movie, but the theater isn't quite your bag because it's maybe a little bit more than you want to pay on that particular night, maybe you need to check out your local Blu-ray or DVD dispenser. Veronica Mars is coming out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's been a while since Veronica has taken a case, but her high school reunion has brought her back to town and back to solving crime. Then there is The Art of the Steal on Blu-ray and DVD. Crunch Calhoun, daredevil and recovering art thief, gets pulled into one more heist. But this success puts a strain on the bonds of family as Crunch's brother sets up another plan that could put them all at risk. And then there's Burn, a documentary on Blu-ray and DVD. Wait, I think that one's just on DVD. Actually, I need to fix that. Nope. It's on DVD, for sure. And it's about the crews of Engine Company 50, which is the point firehouse for the east side of Detroit. In light of the instability of Detroit's economy and the dangers they face every day, these brave souls execute their work with passion and faith in their city because they believe they can make a difference. Then the next two are going to be sort of a pairing, so just bear with me. Harvey is out on Blu-ray and DVD. It's one of James Stewart's best performances as Elwood P. Dowd, a happy-go-lucky fellow who truly sees the good in people. Oh, and his best friend is a six-foot-tall talking rabbit. You know, the usual stuff. It's a film about seeing the extraordinary in the everyday and also about believing in the things you can't always see. Also dropping on Blu-ray is Rear Window. And yes, it's kind of a James Stewart kick today, but we'll just go with it. one of the finest films ever made. This mystery takes place in a single location, the apartment of an injured photographer. Although he may be laid up, he is far from bored as he gets a unique, unusual perspective on the lives of his neighbors. But things get really interesting when he believes that one of them has been murdered.
Ooh.
Yes. And Still Mine, out on Blu-ray and DVD. A man is trying to build a dream home for his ailing wife in the later years of their lives. While he's no slouch when it comes to making things, he's also not up to code either. And this sparks a drawn-out battle against the local government and a man who just wants to give his wife a pleasant place to enjoy her final days, based on a true story. Yeah, normally I try to highlight newer movies, but when Rear Window and Harvey were on the list, I'm like, I can't not put those in, because those are some of my favorite films.
Okay. Well, yeah, especially if they're newish to Blu-ray.
Yeah, I think
Blu-ray
they're
or something
doing like a new, like a cleanup release or something that. So a remastering, I believe, at least for Harvey, I think that one was being remastered. Not positive. The site was a little bit sketchy on some of the more precise details of the release, but...
Okay. Does that do it for...
That wraps up our the collection.
I've got a few games. There weren't a whole lot this week. A few for the PlayStation 3 and PlayStation 4 this week. A collection called Sports Friends drops on the PlayStation 4 and I believe the PlayStation... Yeah, and the PlayStation 3. Sports Friends is a tight-knit compendium of local multiplayer games for living rooms, parties, and even backyards. It features retro-styled fighting game Barra Barry Ball, quap-like pole vault dueling game Super Pole Riders. We have high-velocity sports game Hakra and face-to-face physical party game Johann Sebastian Joust. That one I've heard a little bit about. I believe you use the Move controllers, and you're trying to knock the other person's controller or something
I
like
saw that.
I've heard about it. Yeah,
yeah.
From some podcasts that I listen to, and people sound like it's a lot of fun. It just requires several Move controllers, and not a lot of people have those. But
yeah,
I wonder if you can use the PlayStation, the DualShock 4 has the built. It is essentially like a Move controller.
Oh yeah, it's
now,
the.
So
the
I wonder if you could just use that, huh? If you know out there, let us know. Let's see. We have Titan Attacks, not Attack on Titan, to be confused.
Or Titanfall.
Yeah. this one drops for PC, PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation Vita. So the PlayStation's getting a lot of love this week. I believe Outlast also gets some DLC this week as well. The 360 finally gets Peggle 2. So now Xbox One and the 360 both have Peggle 2. So if you don't have a One yet or you're not thinking of getting one, but you have a 360 and you want to play Peggle 2,
you can join in.
Yes. And this one I do remember mentioning a while back, called Stick It to the Man. It looks like it's dropping on the PlayStation 4. So, yeah, I remember talking about it a little bit in the past. So if you want to find out more, you can go and check it out. But, I haven't found any reviews for it, and it sort of came in under the radar, but the developers Ninja Bee dropped the second ID at Xbox game for Xbox One called Nut Jitsu. You play a ninja squirrel who's like golden acorns have been kidnapped, and you need to go and like get them back. And it's like some kind of stealth type of game.
All right, has potential.
Yeah, it's from the makers of like World of Keflings, Band of Bugs, Cloning Clyde. So
okay,
that sort of pedigree. But yeah, there wasn't a lot of like it just sort of came out of nowhere. Like yeah, it's dropping today. And like
huh?
So
surprise.
Yeah, which is a little strange since there's been a lot of like big hype about indie games. It's like here's one for the Xbox One, which a lot of people are like, it doesn't have that many indie games, and there's no real like, talk about it. So it's weird.
But. Yeah, and it's still early days for the one on that side of things, so they're probably building it up.
Yeah, but yeah, there's a little collection of video games.
Very cool.
Caleb has our.
I have our comics ready to roll. So over on DC, from DC, we have Batwing number 31. The uprising is becoming a major problem, and it's up to Batwing to put a stop to it. But will the Batwing fly or fall? Over on the other side of town is Marvel. She-Hulk number 4. Her newest client has been kidnapped, stolen away by none other than Dr. Doom.
No.
And what does Matt Murdock know about all this? Over from Oni Press, it's The Sixth Gun, number 40. It may be time for Becky Drake and friends to hightail it out of Brimstone, but the way is blocked by Jessup, and he's all hopped up on magic and fueled by anger. Times are about to change for The Six.
Ooh.
Over from IDW, it's Genrise, number 10. In the face of an oncoming enemy invasion, will the army of Jin be enough? And why is a young farm boy so important? And finally, out of the House of Image here on the West Coast, it's Cyberforce number 9. Rip Claw was quite satisfied with the state of his life, his family, and the fact that nobody knew him as Rip Claw. This all came crashing down as a crew of shock troopers tear it all apart, looking for his former teammate, Velocity. And that rounds out our comic book choices.
Nice.
So these are gentle suggestions.
Yes.
Far from exhaustive. Like, but
yeah. Normally I jump in with music, but technology destroyed my notes. So sorry, music. You're not getting any love this week from me. But
new releases love. There'll still be some music.
I think there's like a new Sarah McLachlan, if I remember my notes right. Some other popular, perhaps from the Lilith tour. Also dropped a, I don't know.
There's new music out there.
Yeah, go check it out. Sorry, I know it's weird. Like the radio, you'd think that would be a little more important, but like I said, technology ate my notes. So
yeah, it's the new dog.
Exactly.
On the internet, nobody knows that it's a dog.
It's true.
Maybe
it's a cat hiding behind the dog.
It's wearing a dog mask, so no one knows it's a cat. Ooh.
That could be it.
Because,
you know, they say about cats in the internet.
Yep.
So.
It's made of cats.
Exactly. I don't know how many. Maybe there's a math equation to figure that out exactly, but we'll leave that to smarter people. Anyway, that's going to do it for the new releases. We're going to take a music break. Remember, I did mention that we do play music. And then we're going to come back with news. Caleb,
yes.
Shall we tease the folks some news and how they can participate on the show?
That's right. If you wish to comment on anything or just chime in and make your voice be heard, you can find us on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. That's two words. Or you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me, all one word. And finally, you can always hit us up on ye olde email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you just one place to get it all, one place to find it, Robots Attack archive.me. Links you back out to everything you need to find, and it also has handy-dandy archives of our past episodes.
And someone else just showed up as well.
What?
Who could it be?
Our third person.
I don't know who.
Wait. It's you.
It's oh, you.
Oh,
it's him.
Well, I'm here.
He's here.
He's totally here.
Jason is here.
Yeah.
All right, so want to tease the folks some news that they'll definitely want to stick around for?
A new dinosaur has been discovered.
New dinosaur? It's not like a Transformer dinosaur, is it?
No.
And this isn't like a Transformers tie-in, is it?
No.
For the new movie? No.
Can we give it like a Transformer-y name anyway? Or does it already have one? You don't have to say what the name is.
I mean, if you are stretching for a Transformers tie-in, this one was found in China, where a significant portion of Transformers, the next Transformers, has been filmed. Okay. So there you go.
Okay. That's a nice little connection there. Okay.
I have a story that's taking a new twist on making things or building things with carbon fiber.
So. Not a dinosaur? Or maybe.
Maybe.
You'll have to stick around to find out. You'll definitely want to know. Maybe it is or it isn't a dinosaur. Before we get to that music, I got our PSA. Did you know that KSCU is always looking for new public service announcements to share with the public? Nonprofits and government agencies can submit new announcements to KSCU by emailing traffic@ksu.org. All right. Let's get to the local artist, Warm Soda. The track Going in Circles, the album Young Reckless Hearts. I have no idea if this is any good. So it's going to be a surprise, like we mentioned.
Surprises
on Robots Attack. You love surprises. We love surprises. All right. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack here on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
Let's do this.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
News.
That's right. Welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the news.
The news.
And Caleb has our first story.
The news you can use, sort of.
Ooh.
This is about a new dinosaur that was unearthed in China. And what makes this dinosaur unique is that he belongs to the same family as the ever popular T-Rex or Tyrannosaurus Rex.
Does he have tiny arms?
According to the artist's recreation, it has very short arms.
Oh, wow.
What makes him unique, though, is the fact that he has a very long snout. So he has been nicknamed Pinocchio Rex. Yes. It also lays to rest a long-standing debate amongst the paleontologists about, you know, how and or what a whether there was any more variations on this family line of that we call the Rex, T-Rex, the pygmy Tyrannosaur that was found in the Arctic recently, and so on and so forth. This one is a little bit smaller, standing at only, quote unquote, 29 feet tall, weighing in at 1,800 pounds. And so it's smaller and was more than likely more agile than its 42-foot long cousin, the T-Rex. The two creatures were most likely living at the same time, which is pretty cool. And the technical name for this particular dinosaur is the Kian's Zauhusaurus senensis.
It's too complicated.
It has a very long name. It's because Latin is...
Wait, was there a Rex in there or no? Chinese for Rex?
I'm not sure how it's descended from the Rex, so I think that they nickname it with a Rex, but I don't think it is technically one of a Tyrannosaur Rex.
We will call it Ziggy.
Yes. it was found down in near a southern city in China known as Gansu.
Ziggy.
But it's they named it after its older name, which was Qianzu. It was found by the Chinese Academy for Geological Sciences out of Beijing, and they are pretty excited. It's a so the find was also studied by the
people with glasses.
No, I got Stephen Brissett from Edinburgh, Scotland. So
may not have glasses.
Yeah, it's a multinational find.
Scotland and China teaming up.
Mm-hmm.
Is there nothing they cannot accomplish?
Did you know that Japan thinks that this new Godzilla is fat?
Hmm.
They say they think it looks fat.
Okay.
I say, the original Godzilla wasn't exactly
lithe,
fit.
Yeah. So,
dude in a rubber suit, you can't really. No one looks thin in a large monster robot suit.
Yeah.
Thank you for acknowledging that.
Rubber suit.
But I feel better about my choice of clothing today now.
Before this, only two fossilized tyrannosaurs with long snouts had ever been found, and they were in Mongolia. And so there was some debate whether they were like unusual or whether they were common, and were they really related to T-Rex? And through the study, they started putting the skull back together and the bones, like, yeah, this is in the same family line, as near as they can tell. And the other question is, like, so what purpose would you possibly have for having a longer snout? They suspect that it was it had a weaker jaw. It was more adept at capturing fish and things like that. So it was probably going after it was kind of like a bear. In its own sort of way, like going after like the fish and small animals and that sort of thing for its time and place. And if we've learned anything from watching Jurassic Park, it's everything was bigger back in that day.
There you go.
So even Texas was bigger back then. I don't know about that. It's possibly
sounds
true.
About right.
Yeah. So, I'm sure someone out there we'll agree or disagree.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Let us
know. We're waiting to hear from you Texans.
Yeah, please weigh in. But so yeah, it's very cool. New dinosaur found. And it's this particular specimen was really well preserved because not too long after it died, it actually got covered over by either a landslide or just dirt or somehow like got covered it up. Okay. So it was very careful, very much better preserved than others. So that's very cool.
They should, Michael Bay... They should go into the editing booth now and dub in either like get Mark Wahlberg back or Kelsey Grammer and like dub in like a new line about this new dinosaur. Like,
okay.
Like, well, at least it's not a
yeah. Well, they need to work on making a cooler name first, and then I'm completely with you. So they need to get the name like 3 seconds ago and we're all set. But
or they could have it, and then like Mark Wahlberg can just come on and be like, "Yeah, it sucks."
So that, you're okay, that's so true.
That's a sucking name, just like you're a sucking Transformer. And then he like hits him with a baseball bat or something like that, and like knocks the Transformer
as he normally does.
Because he's fighting the Wahlberger movie and stuff.
Something like that. Yeah.
Okay, so we go from building a better. Transformers movie.
That wouldn't take much. I mean,
building something out of carbon fiber. This is kind of a cool thing, in my opinion, just because in my normal career, I use wrenches like nonstop. And so it's kind of a neat thing that somebody came up with the idea of making a wrench set out of solid carbon fiber.
Whoa.
Yeah. Hmm. So whoa. The entire wrench set weighs 6.7 ounces, which is less than your standard 15 millimeter wrench.
For those who don't know, that's not a very large wrench.
Right. It's pretty small. Well, I mean, no, it's a medium-sized wrench.
Okay.
But anyway, it's pretty cool. The thing that's interesting to me, just looking at it, though, is that mm-hmm. they're really, really simple. It's just stamped laminate of carbon fiber with steel inserts for the actual teeth of the wrench.
I was gonna say, how do they deal with the shearing
right force? Yeah. So they thought that through, and it's a pretty well designed thing and whatnot, but looking at it, it seems to me like they could have actually just made it outright from the carbon fiber and molded it in a different way that it could be even smaller too. But I think it deserves a little bit more experimentation, but for now, this is still really cool. And I'm hoping more things end up being made of carbon fiber like this, just because, of course, it's a pretty super material in a lot of ways. So, if you've got a fair amount of money in your pocket, you can pick these up. They're not cheap, but you can get them for a little bit more than your current like Snap-on set or something like that, which isn't too bad considering.
Yeah, that's good value right there. And you'll save your spine a lot by doing that.
Plus you just look way cooler. Like my stuff is custom, except I probably would have said it normally with an SH word in there, but
a non-radio safe word.
Yeah. Speaking of cool things and things that are safe for the FCC waves, are you an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer? Join San Jose Animal Advocates, a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for your pets in our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. All right. Maybe, you know, you're all done buying that cool carbon fiber set, and you're like, you know what? I got some more money to blow. And you're like, I love space and I love the moon. So you can possibly purchase the joystick used to land Apollo 15 on moon.
Oh, okay. Oh, wow.
Surprise ending.
The hand controller that was used by the Apollo 15 crew to land on the moon's surface will be sold off this month in an aviation and space auction. According to a media release from RR Auction, the spring-loaded hand controller was used to control pitch, roll, and yaw while maneuvering to and from the lunar surface.
Yaw.
The controller is described as tight and returns to neutral position and still has its communications trigger switch.
Sweet.
Bidding is expected to reach as high as $300,000.
Wow.
The joystick was used by Commander Dave Scott to manually guide the Lunar Module Falcon to the moon's surface in 1971 after tracking data indicated they were going to land 3,000 feet south of the targeted landing site. Quote, while risking their lives during the most critical and historic phases of their mission, these are the items that the astronauts personally selected to retain as mementos from arguably the greatest technological and engineering achievement of the 20th century, said VP at RR Auction, Bobby Livingston. So, it looks like there are other items that will be featured in the auction include Buzz Aldrin's NASA-issued comfort glove worn at the Tranquility Base during the first lunar landing and a Jerusalem tile flown in lunar orbit. So, if you got some money to blow...
Comfort glove has a sort of different connotation when you read it wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. But it's all kosher.
Yes. Mm. It's very kosher.
Indeed. Well, speaking of technological things expanding the human condition.
Ooh, segue.
Yes.
Segue alert.
You're not supposed to talk about it. It's not a segue if you announce it's a segue.
That's how we roll. Much like another segue.
Yeah. Oh, jeez. The FCB in Brazil has a new thing they're doing where they're teaching English to their college students, and
well, that's good. It's a step in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. But the main thing that they're doing is that they're testing is kind of how they're evaluating the how quickly the students are learning how to converse in English by mm-hmm. having them connect with elderly people in the States.
Oh, okay.
So obviously that means they're learning American English as opposed to Queen's English, but that's a different issue entirely. But so it's an interesting, very interesting scenario because it's like, you know, for many retirees and people that are living in assisted living or whatever in the States, like there's not a lot of interaction for many of them. I mean,
can be boring.
Yeah, be boring, and just not human contact can sometimes drop off just because.
And
it
they
does.
Get tired of talking to just other like mm-hmm. aged people.
Exactly. So the school down in Brazil thought, well, why don't we start, you know, putting people, connecting these people together with technology? So I think they're using something. They use the internet, obviously, to video chat with these elderly people, and so they have, you know, they get to work on their English, and the people and everyone gets to experience kind of life through the eyes of someone else, both in another country and in another generation. So it's like win-win on a whole lot of levels.
Sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of levels, here's a new app that takes points and translates them into levels to... I'll stop there. Basically, they figured out how to make an app on a cell phone produce actual three-dimensional images. And it's not just a kind of nifty camera trick like some other apps are already doing. It actually takes points that it can tell are on an object, and it watches them and extrapolates from how those points are distorting when you move the camera around it. It turns it into a three-dimensional, like... skeleton.
Okay.
And from there, it actually projects the color from the photo onto it, and so you end up with an actual 3D rendering of the thing that you just waved your phone around in front of.
Interesting.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it should work. It's pretty crazy tech, but
magic.
Right. Our smartphones are actually fairly smart at this point, so mm-hmm. I'm not completely surprised. Here's the thing that completely geeks me out about it. Uh-huh. We're getting way closer to getting to an age where we can just have our smartphone and a 3D printer via HP or some other company yeah. mm-hmm. and just wave our camera around in front of something and be able to print it instead of having like crazy laser scanners or anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're getting closer to that day where it's nothing but personal, widely accepted, widely used appliances that can help us make things just bam. So this is a pretty major step in that direction.
Yeah, that's very cool. And there's a lot of people that think that like the 3D printing is going to like revolutionize a lot of the ways we understand.
It's just a fad.
Yeah.
I agree.
what we do. But yeah, that's going to be pretty rad if and or when that actually comes together.
So from doing stuff with your phone to Sony's got 185 terabyte magnetic tape that sets new storage record.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Sony has developed new magnetic tape. There wasn't really a segue.
No, I liked it.
Sony has developed new magnetic tape technology that can fit more than 185 terabytes of data on a single cartridge, the company announced last week. The technology allows for the storage of more than 18.5 gigabytes of data per square inch of tape, 74 times the capacity of standard mainstream magnetic tape in the form of linear tape open Ultrium technology, whose LTO6 cartridges can hold up to 2.5 terabytes of data. Sony's technology sets a new record for real storage density of tape storage, according to Sony. As a comparison, the current standard for Blu-ray disc storage is a dual-layer disc that can hold 50 gigabytes of data. Sony's tape can fit nearly 3,790 of those.
That's a fair amount.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I saw what was kind of funny in this the story I snagged from Polygon, and I'll post the link, as well as the rest of our stories you can check out, because a lot of times they have cool pictures or videos on our Facebook page, Robots Attack. Or we also tweet them out, Robots Attack, on the Twitter.
Yes.
There was a comment. Somebody posted a picture of a cassette, and then they were like, underneath, you know, like, some people won't know. Like, it was a cassette and a pencil.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, some people won't know what this is. And there was a comment underneath like, yeah, I don't know what the correlation is between these two. And then the next picture was like an animated GIF, like turning the
nice
turning the tape with the pencil, and then the it was the same person that would probably back. I get it now. So you know, if you're looking to store 180 ish terabytes amount of data, Sony's got you covered with its magnetic tapes.
Yeah. And it's actually more important than it seems like it should be, because like this is what every single data center that's uses to make sure that they have a version of the data center on like in a box effectively. So
yeah, it's not a whole lot of consumer.
No,
it's more the back end.
Business,
like the stuff that the cloud stuff and the stuff that we think of, like, this is important.
Yes.
On that end. So.
The stuff that most of us happily ignore.
Yeah.
Yes. The things that you don't even want to think about, that's what this tape will make sure you don't have to think about.
The black magic stuff we mentioned.
Exactly.
There you go. All right. Very cool. Jason, do you have one more?
Yes, I do.
Speaking of things that are cool.
Well, this one's cool when you heat it up.
Ooh.
Wait. How does that even...
I will tell you how.
Here's how. No, okay.
So, dude, tell me more.
One of the big problems that we have with the electronic gadgets in this day and age is that they are almost impossible to recycle easily because they have tons and tons of pretty nasty stuff in them, and all of the little parts are basically welded together with stuff that is also not recyclable. And so it makes it really difficult to salvage anything from the innards of any electronic device, which means that we're basically throwing away a lot of toxic waste, which isn't ideal.
No.
Not so.
So
is that how you say not so good?
Right. So some people ended up coming up with a new idea that basically you wash a circuit board in boiling water and you scrape off all of the electronic components like it's so many bad noodles on an old dinner plate or something like that.
Okay.
So
basically desoldering it by just with hot water?
It's fairly hot water, so this isn't going to be anything that you do with your bare hands or anything like that, but basically boiling water.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the idea is that we're getting closer and closer to having really reliable, easy to reproduce thermoplastic substrates that are conductive and are easy enough to use for things like circuit boards. So this group has put together an entire circuit board using this new technology. And yeah, for now, it's not incredibly easy to replicate on a mass scale. But, I mean, that's not anything new in technology. It might take us a little while, but I have faith we'll get there.
Yeah, that will actually, that could be pretty rad. Like, just soak your board to reset it and stuff like that.
Yeah, I... That's the thing that I'm kind of confused about, too, is that obviously the board is still going to have all of the holes in the circuits in predetermined positions.
Unless they are, unless it's surface mount.
Well, okay. Anyway, the bright side of the entire thing is that you actually get to salvage all of the little bits and pieces coming off of it, if nothing else. Because most of them, there's absolutely nothing wrong with them at the end of the life cycle, except for like the one little thing that burnt out that ruined the entire thing.
Yeah. One capacitor blew, and now your $300 device is a $300 brick.
Or a significantly less expensive brick.
Yeah.
Or paperweight.
Paperweight.
For those who still use paper. You know, when you mentioned like the future and stuff like that. Like, I don't know why, but instantly the like opening to Star Trek Enterprise theme song like kicked in my head.
Been a long
road. Well, I don't know why.
I don't know if we're allowed to sing. I guess it's a radio station. We can sing as much as we want.
Yeah. Also, if we do it, it's like then it's a cover. It's a performance as opposed to
that's
playing
right
the actual song. So
I'm
it's fair
covering music that I hate.
Fair use, I guess.
Getting from there.
But yeah, seeing the future, you know, and they show images of the little, you know, like, I don't know if they had the wheel, but, you know, like, from there to
I think they did have a wheel.
I know they kind of, like, did a rapid progression of, like, the ship.
Yeah.
Sailing ship.
At first, it was, like, a little raft or something like that.
Yeah.
So.
Very cool.
I know you've... You have a robot story?
Actually, I didn't find it. I didn't find a good robot story this week.
Did you have a last or another story? Or?
I have one last story that I can.
Okay. Well, before you get to that one, just, you know, to remind everyone that they're listening to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're still in the news, kind of wrapping it up, but I want to mention this story because it's something that will sort of relate to something I want to mention in Geek Talk.
Okay.
Okay.
So there's a new Power Rangers movie announced. Now, none of us here, I'm assuming, are really big like Power Ranger fans.
Not
I mean,
so much.
It was kind of like we were a little old by the time it kind of was.
I was much more into Gargoyles, which came right before Power Rangers. So
yeah, I was like dodged it by just a couple
of
years.
It was kind of we missed it, so that kind of show our age a little bit. But it, you know, for a lot of people, it was really big for them. So this is, you know, pretty big news. On the heels of their 20th anniversary last year, the Power Rangers are returning to the big screen. Power Rangers owners Saban are teaming with Lionsgate, the studio behind the Hunger Games and Saw franchises. That's so strange. Combo to mix.
Yeah.
Which one?
Hunger Games and Saw franchises.
It sort of works on a weird sort of
level. For a new film, it sounds like it could be considered a reboot and that the press release says it will re-envision the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, the original incarnation of the series. Lionsgate is the perfect home for elevating our Power Rangers brand to the next level, says Power Rangers creator Hyman Saban in a statement. They have the vision, marketing prowess, and incredible track record in launching breakthrough hits from The Hunger Games to Twilight and Divergent. He doesn't mention Saw.
For some reason.
Yeah.
In partnership with the Lionsgate team, we're confident that we will capture the world of the Power Rangers and translate it into a unique and memorable motion picture phenomenon with a legacy all its own. There's more to this story, but that's basically it. You can check out the rest of it on the link on our Facebook and Twitter pages.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's like, it missed us, but
I'm
why I did it beyond that it's pretty popular for a large number of people, but it will also sort of relate to something I want to talk about in Geek Talk later in the show.
Okay.
Very cool.
Yeah. So. What immediately jumps to my mind is like Christopher Nolan's triumphant return to the superhero genre.
Yeah. Yeah.
In Nolan We Trust. Power Rangers.
Yeah.
The like, beginning.
After you see his Interstellar film, then he's working on the Power Rangers. Oh,
right. No, that was just the code name for. Okay. Oh, right. Their so Interstellar Power Rangers.
Matthew McConaughey.
McConaughey is going to be in Power Rangers then, huh?
Exactly.
Interesting.
And totally not true.
Yeah, yeah. Totally made up on the spot. It's improvisation.
That we know of.
Yeah, maybe they'll get, I don't know.
Well, talking about connecting to the past, we have...
wait, is this a link to the past?
Oh,
no,
Zelda's a badass. He's a cool guy.
It's true.
Stop it. anyway.
We love frustrating him so much.
And the... if you like kind of some of the premise of the idea behind the Assassin's Creed series of using your DNA
to connect
to your past.
Oh, okay.
You might there is actually a program that can help you do that in real life. Not quite in the same way. You cannot relive the lives of your ancestors, but you can find out on a map where they came from. And it's tracking your DNA. You can.
It sounds like a new Bing thing or something like that. Find out where my peeps were from, Bing.
Bing. Xbox, Bing. Oh, right. DNA.
Right.
Cortana, tell me, where did my ancestors come from?
Right.
Who is my daddy?
Bleed on me.
Yeah. the University of Sheffield. Yes.
Well, just to clarify that was the person like cutting their finger and putting it on their phone.
Right.
Just okay. Just so it someone doesn't take it all like right. think about it and then
I'm
don't
not
think
about it.
Okay,
I'm...
good. All right, go ahead.
Right.
Meanwhile, back in the storyline, the University of Sheffield in the UK has been using a program they're calling the GPS. Or the geographic population structure tool.
I see what they did there.
using more than 100,000 DNA signatures called AIMS, or Ancestry Information Markers, they use these to trace where certain ethnic groups were in geographic regions. So you can go back about 1,000 years and see where your ancestors came from on a map.
Miles.
So there you go. Just kind of a fun thing to do with DNA studies.
Hmm. Okay.
There you go.
So is Ancestry.com like mad about this? Or?
No, you actually can use the test results from Ancestry.com and 23andMe to find out where the Ancestry.com can tell you, will give you like the actual towns and stuff like that. This will gives you lets you see on a map, kind of like what it looked like, where it might have been, in case like you read the name of the town and go, huh, that's an impronounceable phrase. How do I too many vowels and too many consonants in this name? Like, oh, there's a map. Ah, they're in that place. So there you go.
All right. That's going to do it for the news. If you missed any of our news stories, Caleb, how can they check them out as well as let us know what they think of them?
Well, you can find us on Facebook. You put Robots Attack, two words, in that search bar at the top. Or you can go over to Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And our email address is robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And the one place where everything lives is robotsattack.me. Now the actual story links will show up there when we post the episode for archive, but it does have links to the Facebook and the Twitter and everything else, so you will be able to find everything through there.
All that good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a music break. I'm going to play the band Ghost Beach, the track Miracle. from the album Blondie. All right. We'll be back with more Robots Attack right after this. We'll enter Geek Talk. But before that, let's hear some music here on KCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound.
Woo!
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at RobotsAttackMe. Email them at RobotsAttackShow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at RobotsAttack.me.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KSU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. You just heard Ghost Beach, the track Miracle from the album Blonde. Alright, we are in Geek Talk. And if you remember earlier in the show, during the news, I brought up the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. Mm-hmm. They're getting a new movie. And
right.
If you did miss that, well, there you go. Now you're caught up. The reason why I wanted to mention that particular story was that, you know, we kind of missed on the Power Rangers phenomenon. It was a little, you know, we were a little older than kind of the target demographic for the most part. I mean,
yeah,
a lot of geek things, like, it doesn't matter what age you are, but
yeah,
for the most part, we kind of...
The depth of the fandom is shifted.
Yeah.
The weight's shifted.
Plus, there's a certain age that you break away from being, like, considering people running around in rubber suits acceptable, where you want something a little bit more.
Exactly.
A little different.
Yeah.
So why I brought that up was because this past weekend and kind of earlier in the week, a lot of the, well, a handful of some of the older James Bond movies dropped onto streaming services that I subscribed to. And in a while back, we actually did a James Bond kind of focused show. We had one of our friends come on who's like a James Bond specialist, and we kind of went through a bunch of them. And during that particular show, I had mentioned, like, yeah, I really hadn't watched any of the older ones. Like, So I was like, oh, you know what? I'm going to sit down and I'm going to
watch a few of them.
Yeah, I'm going to watch a few of these.
Like, this is your
chance.
I
made a little list. It was like, okay, they have this one, this one, this one. So, you know, I tried to catch. And so yeah, like I watched Dr. No from Russia with Love. They didn't have Thunderball. They had Goldfinger, so I watched that. And then they had the first one with Roger Moore, Live and Let Die. So I watched most of that.
Okay.
So, yeah, I think it's the same thing for me as with Power Rangers. Since I never grew up with them, for me, they're kind of hard to watch. Like, Dr. No. Actually, let's see. Dr. No from Russia with Love, Goldfinger. I definitely like Goldfinger the best out of those three. Then probably Dr. No. Then probably From Russia with Love.
Interesting.
I thought there were, they definitely the cinematography, like the James Bond movies are like the awesome, like best travel guides. Like, hey, you want to go to this country? Yeah, that looks really awesome. Like they were definitely shot beautifully. But yeah, like I just could not. I mean, there were parts where he was like, wow, you are just, I don't want to say the R word, but yeah, you're kind of doing that to that girl. That's not cool. I know it's a totally different time.
Right.
And so like a lot of it, like I kind of put it in that perspective. It's like, okay, the time when they came out was early 60s to late 60s, like Sean Connery ones. So, you know, like, the mindset, things are different. So I had that in mind, but yeah, I just, they
kind
were,
of a creep.
It was weird. It took like, I want to watch, like, the goal was kind of to watch each of, like, the new Bonds. Like, I want to go back and, because the first one I remember watching, like, going actually to the theater and seeing was GoldenEye. And it's been a while since I've watched that one, so I want to rewatch that one again. And I know bits and pieces of The Living Daylights, and that's the first one with Timothy Dalton. So my goal was to kind of watch, like, the first one of each one. So that's why I watched Live and Let Die with Roger Moore, which, I couldn't finish it. It was just like, I love the theme. I love the song, the Paul McCartney Wings song, mm-hmm. like Live and Let Die. I love it. But yeah, that movie, oh God. I was like, this is so rough. Oh, this is hard to watch. I was like, Jane Seymour, she definitely looks good. But yeah, that movie's hard to watch. And Yaphet Kotto is an interesting bad guy, but it's like, this is just, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I tried to. I was like, okay, the time, like all of these, it's like, okay, the time frame that they were in, they're definitely like...
Of an era.
But yeah, like, but going back to, you know, the ones that most people are like, the classic James Bond, like Sean Connery, like, so far, since, like I said, I need to rewatch GoldenEye again, and Living Daylights to kind of see the first time with those. But it took like Casino Royale, the one with Daniel Craig.
Mm-hmm.
That was the first time where I was like, to me, James Bond, the character, was cool. Like in the other ones, he did cool things, but I never really thought he was a cool guy until Casino Royale. I was like,
okay.
To me then, I was like, okay, that's a Bond that I think is cool. Like I want to watch that guy, like do stuff.
I can buy into that world.
Now, but going back to with the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers thing, I can totally understand if you grew up with those movies, not saying like actual, like you watched them when you were a little kid, like in the 60s, but you know, like if you watched them with your parents or something when you were growing up, like anything, like it made me sort of realize for people who maybe aren't like super into Star Wars or Star Trek, they never really like grew up with them. I can totally see it not being as big of a deal to them. Like to me, it's like I grew up with the Star Wars movies.
Right.
So they're like a big...
Episode 7's big deal.
Yeah. Like it. They're very nostalgic for me, like thinking about them. So I can understand if the James Bond films could be the exact same way for people who maybe grew up with them.
Mm-hmm.
But like going back and kind of watching them now, it's like, it's just... The appeal just isn't there. Like they're just like... They're not for me. Like I definitely like the later ones that they're doing now, but yeah. So yeah, it just I think most people I'm kind of in the minority when it comes to the Bond stuff, but
I think it depends more on the exposure, like, you know,
Well, to me it's just this. The series has lived for so long that we've all kind of grown up with it in one way or another, or most of us have. Mm-hmm. And so for me, like Pierce Brosnan is always going to be like kind of a default James Bond just because he was there when I was actually paying attention to the movies.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all of the other movies before that, I saw a lot of them. But honestly, they kind of run together. Like, as soon as I can start putting scenes together with things, I can kind of figure it out.
Yeah.
But mostly it was just like, okay, well, here is a nifty little spycraft type thing that I'd never seen before. And that was kind of the big thing about them, I think, is that there wasn't anything novel like that out there. And so I think that's what stuck in a lot of people's minds and kind of trumped a lot of the kind of cheesy stuff. Because, I still remember the first time I saw a Lotus, like, going into the water and being, like, a submarine. Oh. And I was just, like, freaking out as a kid. Like, that's the coolest thing in the world. I want an undersea Lotus.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
I can't afford a regular one, but I want an undersea one.
The magic of the movies.
Right. Mm-hmm. And same, it's like this is first place I saw those little, the diving scooter things. First place I saw a fake volcano. I want all of this stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's just... To me, it's novel, and that's all that kind of sold it on a lot of people. And you can't look at any of them as like a showcase for the best acting in the world or anything like that. It doesn't seem like. I mean, I think Sean Connery did a more believable job than most of the other ones, but he was still in subject matter that it was all about making a movie that was novel. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah, it was sort of going back and sort of remember, it's like pretty much whenever there's a female character, it's like,
right,
they're all, it's like, oh, James, or like kind right. of pretty much instantly. So it's sort of kind of remembering that sort of, and having that mindset, putting in my head like, okay.
Yeah, it's funny. It's actually kind of like, I've ended up becoming kind of obsessed with the Archer TV series in the last little while. And on the surface, it's the exact same stuff, because it's every excuse to have a girl in a bikini that you can possibly cram into an episode.
Yeah.
But they're also actively making fun of it the entire time, which is really nice. And of course, all of the female characters are really strong characters too, that don't take, like, put up with hardly anything. So it is funny, like, having that kind of tweak on everything.
It's funny too, that reminded me of, like, because, you know, I watched, like, the Austin Powers movies, obviously before I'd really seen any of the old, like, James Bond movies.
Right,
You know, I still thought they were funny, even though not knowing any of the references. But it's kind of weird now seeing, like, wow, I thought they were, like, really going overboard in Austin Powers. Oh, no,
they're not.
They pretty much just took the exact same thing. Wow.
Right.
Okay.
It is overboard, but it's, it was like so close to exaggerated. The edge,
yeah,
to
it's
begin
like
with.
Slightly exaggerated, but
right.
Wow, yeah, that's the same kind of outfit. It's Dr. Evil, Dr. No, okay, same sort of scar thing. Okay, oh wow, it actually had a cat. Okay,
yep.
But okay, oh wow, there was a the female evil agent, like, that was all, but yeah, but wow, okay.
Yeah, it's like when you've seen the old ones, like Austin Powers becomes uproariously funny just for all the little random things it starts throwing into it. But
well, yeah, and it's sort of the same as the Archer thing. It's actively making fun of, like, the women throwing themselves at him,
and also just the scenario too. It's like super spies is sort of like in the way that they're portrayed in these films are sort of ridiculous. Like,
right.
If that actually went on, people would probably have noticed at some point or another.
Well, and it's funny too. Like, it seems like it's become maybe not like the biggest rage, but it's become a popular little niche for new TV series to have all of these different spy series that are, like, from different time frames and so on. Like, The Americans has been pretty well received, and I respect it as a show, but I can't click with it for some reason. And so it makes me wonder kind of if maybe all of the James Bond stuff has kind of soured me on it. Not as far as, like, I'm bored of any sort of spy stuff, but there's nothing, there's no undersea fight scenes or anything like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't try and be interesting on that level at all, which of course makes it more realistic, but it also puts it, like, it grounds it so far in the mundane that it kind of takes the fun out of it. Like, I think the series Justified kind of pushes it the opposite direction. They end up making it so it starts in mundane, like, probably the most mundane place in the world, like Kentucky. And they make it interesting somehow. They always have something different that you're not going to expect in that show. And, like, the Americans, I've never seen anything that was like, I wasn't expecting that to happen. No, it's like every spy thing that you expect to happen.
So, if I remember right, you grew up more on,
I watched a lot of the old Connerys, and my dad very much was a fan of the series. So for me, like, there is that sort of that nostalgia, but it's it also sort of like we kind of were sort of in on the ridiculousness of it all, and so while I enjoy the films, I also see sort of like the flaws and how a lot of this comes together. It's like, yeah, no, that really doesn't work, but I really enjoy this movie, so I kind of just accept it and move along. like From Russia with Love is one of my favorites. And yeah, it's, I'm sure that if you were to come to it, like not knowing anything about it and not having, and having kind of be hyped just a little bit by people that like, oh yeah, it's my favorite one. It would probably come across as like, yeah, I don't see why this is so good, but I think what it is, like, even with it, within a series, like there's always going to be like a particular, like a certain story or a certain version of the character that is slightly more appealing than some of the others. Like,
yeah,
like Doctor Who, for example, they've gone through, they're about to hit number 13.
By the way, I just caught up on that.
Yeah. And a lot of people have their sort of favorite doctor.
Yeah. And I think it's kind of like that with Bond. Like there's certain ones that like, for whatever reason, like you just enjoy that particular one more than the others. And not that you disregard the others, but
yeah,
like when I try and go back and watch the old Patrick Troughton, Doctor Who's, they're hard to watch.
Mm.
It's a similar thing. Like
I totally have the same problem.
Like I've watched a number of them from, you know, watching on PBS a number of times, but,
So for people who don't know, like if you were to throw a physical attribute at Peter Troughton, which one was he?
Oh, Peter Troughton was the guy with the white hair, in a kind of a Prince Valiant cut.
Okay, sort of. So the first one.
He was the very first Doctor. Okay. He was the one. He says one of his companions called him grandfather. So it's like, you know, they played that Doctor plays very differently than say David Tennant, who is considerably more youthful, and just, you know. And also the pacing and the budget and all sorts of other, you know, the writing styles and things like changed drastically from generation to generation.
In a weird sort of, yeah, Doctor Who and James Bond are kind of the same thing. It's all about creating a spectacle that you'll remember,
mm-hmm.
instead of it being like trying to go for any sort of accuracy or anything like that.
Hmm.
And just kind of like capturing sort of the era of when they came out. I mean, you know, if you mm-hmm. look at, you know, the Connery ones versus Daniel Craig, like totally different styles. Like it, mm-hmm. there's and you know, so basically I just want to say, like, I totally understand people that like love them, are mm-hmm. super into them. I do think it is like that thing where if you kind of grew up with him, if there's certain sort of style mm-hmm. or era, I totally get it. It just kind of
it's one of those like if no one told you this is really fun and good, like, and you didn't like kind of like see that as part of its thing, and then you got a different version of it at some point, and you thought that was fun and good, and you look at this other version like, oh, that's not the same thing. It's the same name, but it's not the same thing. It's like,
uh-huh. Yeah, it's something that I've gotten myself in trouble with people in the past, is saying that people back in the day didn't know how to act. and I still stand by it to a certain extent, because it's not like you don't have certain really good actors that stand out like through whatever time frame. Mm-hmm. The problem with the old movies is there weren't enough of them. And so you end up having a good actor surrounded by really horrid actors. But it was acceptable back then. It was, well, we have the good actor, so, I mean, it's cool. And everybody just kind of shut their eyes. But now it's like, if you have a single bad actor in anything, it ruins the entire thing. Like, we've gotten spoiled on it.
Now, the movie, like, modern movies are built upon the backs of all those old flicks where they had like the star actor that made a movie, like this is
right
the thing, and then
now the supporting cast has to be a star actor or a star actor level.
Mm-hmm.
yeah it's all about the style and
mm-hmm.
era and everything like that, but let us know what you think. If you know, have you had a chance to go back and watch any of the Bond films or anything like that? Or
mm-hmm.
are you kind of with me where it's just that the style, that kind of era just kind of goes past you, not really into it? Or are you more like Caleb? Maybe you grew up with him, or that kind of style and feel just hits you fine. But yeah, we'd love to hear from you. So
definitely.
Caleb, how can they do that?
You can find us on Facebook, do a search for Robots Attack, put it up in the little bar at the top. Or on Twitter, we are Robots Attack Me, all one word. And then finally, robotsattackshow@gmail.com.
Nice.
Calling all volunteers. Please join the effort to keep Santa Clara's creeks clean, healthy, and beautiful by coming to the Santa Clara Creek Cleanup Day on Saturday, May 17th from 9 a.m. to 12 p.m. Participants must fill out a waiver of liability and turn it in to the site coordinator upon arrival, and those under 18 must have a parent or guardian with them. Cleanup days, several locations will be hosting cleanups, so visit www.cleanacreek.org or email kahickey@santaclara.gov for more information.
All right, we're going to take another music break, and then we'll come back with the core. We're going to have some more discussions. I know this one sort of led into a bigger discussion than I actually thought it would, but I had fun with it, and...
I hated it.
Well, that's too bad.
Tough.
Because we're going to talk about it again when we come back now. We're going to just pretend that we didn't do it and just do the whole thing over again. No, we're not going to do that.
And I'll take a completely different position.
I hate Doctor Who. All right. We'll be right back with more Robots Attack here on KACU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
Alrighty, welcome back to Robots Attack here on KCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We are in the core. We're going to talk some discussions, some geek discussions. Jason?
Yes.
What did you like to talk about first?
Well, okay. Last week we had a bunch of news come out about the Star Wars movie, and we weren't able to cover it because we had so much other stuff to cover.
Yeah, we talked about the Call of Duty Advanced Warfare.
Right.
Which leaked a bunch of info, like, while the show was going. So.
Yeah, exactly.
That was funny.
And within a day, like, I think practically everything that is to be known about it, it was out there.
Which, yeah, just about.
But still, I don't blame us because we're into that game and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, they ended up introducing the world to a fair chunk of the cast members of the series, and I thought it was interesting. And well, I'll put it this way: a lot of people were kind of pushed out of shape, and I can understand why. Is that 90% of the characters in it were male characters, and only one was a female character, which, especially when you consider that this new series is going to kind of replace
one. Because, I mean, there's still Princess Leia.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's true.
Just to clarify, so we know someone, well, technically there's...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Save the trouble of that person.
Right. Well, if you were going by all of the previous books that were made that occupy the same time frame, they had kind of a knack for creating a lot of really strong female characters. And so people have been kind of underwhelmed by the amount of female characters in this. That said, we have no idea how much of the storyline is going to be populated by the single female character that is there. So it's kind of a big X factor that nobody knows for sure, but people are taking for granted that, oh, they're throwing all female characters out of the movie.
Yeah. And it is a little bit unfortunate that the books have been, that all of the non, Yeah.
I
wanted to mention the expanded universe stuff has basically now been like, it doesn't count. It's not canon anymore.
Right. Yeah. It never has been and never will be canon, which is both interesting and depressing all at the same time, because there's been a lot of really good stories in the expanded universe. And to
me, not a big surprise.
I know for some,
it was like devastating. It was like, well, I mean, unless Lucas, like, you know, did it or had some hand in it, I never really, like, you know.
I guess I was more surprised just because now that Lucas isn't, like, the hand controlling it, I figured that was the opportunity for a lot of this stuff to go through. And I expected tweaks and so on because, I mean,
right,
it's really difficult to make some of those books cinematic and string them together in the same way. But I had hoped that this was the opportunity for a lot of those characters to get through to the screen that wouldn't have been portrayed any other way. But I'm not surprised either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I am surprised, though, about the amount of female characters. I don't know what to make of it, to be honest. Because, I mean, you have characters like Mara Jade that are such a huge part of every single shred of everything that was created afterwards.
Yeah,
she was put in fighting games, for goodness sake.
Yeah, when she was introduced to the universe, she became very integral. And then, like, Han and Leia's son and daughter, they became pretty integral as well.
Right. And we don't know the female character in it right now.
We don't really know who the new cast, like, who they're playing.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I mean, one thing that someone brought up that was sort of interesting about this new cast is that there is a much higher level of ethnic diversity amongst the cast members than there has been in a lot of the other Star Wars films.
Is there an Asian in the cast?
I am not positive.
Yeah, I don't think there's.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I'm thinking it's about the same.
Yeah, I mean,
they've got a Wookiee.
Well, I mean, and that's something else. Like, we don't know, like, what any of these characters are going to be portraying. Are they, like, if they're aliens, they'll be makeup doll to heck, and we'll have no idea who they are anyway, so.
Right. Yeah. But, yeah, and then I'd heard something, too, that there might still be some cast that hasn't been revealed yet, so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And someone else had mentioned, too, like, well, they're making a trilogy, so there's still an opportunity for 8 and 9 to have more, you know, maybe this is.
Yeah, that's true.
So, yeah. You know, I'm not saying that's like an excusable excuse, but
it's something to bear in mind. It's like, this isn't the only one they're making.
Yeah.
Yeah. What I'm kind of hoping is that since the female character that they're putting in it, the actress is relatively unknown, and
Daisy Ridley.
Right. And it's become kind of a tradition for this style of movie to take an unknown and make them sort of the big lead for things.
Yeah.
My guess is that she's actually going to be the lead for the entire movie.
Hmm.
Or at least it's been kind of...
pretty major character, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
There has been stuff that's been mentioned by the studio that makes it sound like this first movie, at least, that it might actually be Han Solo as kind of the lead for the movie.
Interesting.
Yeah, I'd heard that. Like, he's playing Han Solo's playing a major role in this.
So it'll be interesting to see if it's kind of the passing of the torch movie for the first movie, and it goes from there, which I'd understand. I mean, heck, they even did that in the Star Trek movies.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, to arguable success, but still, it feels like it's something that you need.
Yeah. Or if what they mean by that is, like, what I kind of got to thinking too was, like, does Han Solo die in this? And that kind of, like, is what triggers, like, everything, you know,
because
that was like a big thing in Empire. They were like,
both Lawrence Kasdan, who is one of the writers on this, mm-hmm. and Harrison Ford were like, he should die. Han Solo should die in mm-hmm. Empire, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it took sort of George Lucas like, no, I have more plans for him. He's yeah. not going to die in this. But so it sort of made me think like, well, I mean, on the one hand, like yeah. what this photo did reveal was, I mean, there was like almost 95, probably 99% chance that like, you know, the big three were returning.
Right.
This pretty much cemented it. Like, yeah. okay, yeah, they're in it. And that's yeah. pretty awesome.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, but, you know, that meaning of Han Solo playing a major role, could it be he is, like, in it a lot? Or
yeah,
maybe he dies or something happens and that's what triggers stuff?
Like, yeah.
So it'll be...
Well, and it's interesting for me, too, just because... Harrison Ford is the only one out of the original cast members that looks like he could still be in an action movie, even with his age and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know how they're going to end up kind of working around that or not
yeah.
without being insulting to the actors, you know?
Yeah.
What's interesting, too, if memory serves, Max von Sydow is not in that photo, but he was mentioned as...
That's true, yeah.
As, you know, one of the new cast members
yeah.
mm-hmm. in it. So it makes me like wonder what his role will be. I mean, a lot of speculation has been like, he's going to play the Sith Lord, you know?
Yeah.
And then, so
I think that's too easy. I hope it's something different than that.
Yeah.
But so. He would be a pretty, pretty dead on like Sith Lord.
Yeah.
You don't even need a cape or anything really.
Just put him in the scene and can, he can exude the power of the dark side.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, he's played the devil at least once, right?
Yeah.
So
I'm really not sure. I don't recognize his name myself.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I believe he played the devil in Needful Things.
Yeah.
And he was
he was one of my favorite devils, to be honest, that's ever been created. But that sounds wrong, but hopefully people out there know what I mean.
Yeah. Before I mention anything else, I want to mention about the San Jose Animal Advocates again. If you're an animal lover who wants to help homeless animals find their forever homes but have limited time to volunteer, you can join San Jose Animal Advocates at a local nonprofit that is building a community network to help find loving foster and forever homes for pets at our local shelters. With your help, we can save countless animals. All it takes is a few clicks, and you can share their stories with your network of friends. It's easy. Join them at sjanimaladvocates.org or look for them on Facebook. I will say, though, one thing that is, like, about them saying that the expanded universe is, you know, pretty much, like, none of it counts,
toast.
Blah, blah, blah. It now makes, like, anything in these movies, like...
New
and, yeah. like, a surprise. So it's like, you're not like, oh, is that person going to be this, or are they going to have this? I mean, obviously, if one of these new casts is, like... an offspring of one of the characters, like, okay, yeah, they had those in other books, but that's not, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be, like, the exact same
mm-hmm.
character as, it, you know, in the novels and whatnot, but it does sort of open that up to, you know, it's now all entirely sort of new ground. And I want to say, too, for the people that were like, oh, this is bad, and I, you know, I bought all these books and read all these things, and now, like, oh, I wasted all my time. It's like, if you enjoyed them and right. like had fun with them, that's not a waste of time to me. It's mm-hmm. like the fact that
the book will still be good, even though it never got turned into
yeah,
a movie.
Yeah, that I just, it's weird when I heard people saying, like, so it, the only reason why this was fun to you is because like it was validated by some dude. Like, I mean, that's what makes it fun for you. It's like,
yeah,
I don't,
a strange criterion for fun.
Yeah, it's like,
yeah, to me, it's sad, but not necessary.
mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's like, I looked at it with, cause they changed pretty much all the stuff about Mandalorians
mm-hmm.
from the novels with the Clone Wars changed
yeah.
it. And it, you know, pretty much changed the stuff I'd read about Jango Fett and
which
Boba
I'm
Fett,
sure
which
all of the same people who are wigging out right now were wigging out about that stuff.
Yeah. Then, I was like, so. I was like, oh, okay, they changed all that. I mean, I liked some of the stuff they had, but again, it went back to well, it wasn't Lucas himself, or so it was like, this is cool, but I'm not going to, if he turns around and says no, I'm not going to be like shocked.
Yeah. You know? Well, it's kind of like the expanded universe was where they was things that were allowed, but not necessarily approved. If that makes sense. It's like,
yeah,
they're not saying stamp official. They're like, no, that's a cool, cool idea. Run with that. There'll be some good stories. And they did, and they've been very successful.
Yeah.
And, you know, those comics have been successful. Like, that's, like, the main thing that keeps Dark Horse going in a lot of ways.
Which will be interesting since it's going to stop from Dark Horse and move over to Marvel.
Yes.
Like, what they're going to do with all that. Like, are they just going to retcon, like, you know, just ignore everything that Dark Horse has done?
Well, they almost have to.
Yeah.
Actually. Because I read an interesting thing about my favorite Spider-Man cartoon series, like how it ended up ceasing to be, was the transfer of the cartoon rights from Sony back over to Marvel. And so it basically severed a really good cartoon series.
Yeah.
Its connection was like gone.
It's gone. That
nobody can touch it. At this point, it does not exist anymore, except which is on DVD.
Yeah,
which is unfortunate, but also good that it does exist at all. So, because I think it's the Amazing Spider-Man series, the one with the cheeks designed.
Yeah, the
James Galloway is his real name.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one a lot. It was to me the most. As cartoony as the style was, it was the most realistic of all of the ones, too. So,
well, I think it explored the relationships a lot better than some of the others did. But back on point to Star Wars, it's like, I'm sure
those. How does Star Wars relate to Spider-Man series that are.
Well, I can't sort of link it with that. Like, if you watch the Clone Wars cartoon, is like, it's canon. And if you watch the last season, which I highly recommend
on Netflix, yeah,
it actually goes into detail about more about the Order 66 that happens in Revenge of the Sith and the disconnect of like, well, okay, Obi-Wan like appeared as, you know, a spirit, but like, how come no one else did in the prequels? In that season, it explains that. There's only a few, I think it's like 13 episodes. There's a few that are but most of them are solid. Solid stuff.
Crud, I have to get Netflix again.
And the Star Wars Rebel cartoon, I think, looks really cool.
I'm looking forward to that one. That one looks like it's gonna be fun. It's like, it's kind of taking some of the ideas of what they did with the Clone Wars in terms of like unusual characters and different situations and like changing it up a lot.
And I think that one's like 5 years before A New Hope. So, like where it takes place in the
time. So they're shooting for five seasons.
yeah, probably. I believe there's either starting to shoot now or really soon. Episode 7, so...
Yeah, they've already started shooting certain stuff. I don't know if they have any of the main actors yet, but they already have tents out in the desert in Tunisia that they're filming something.
So we're running back to Tatooine, everyone.
Right. Well, not necessarily, but it is a favorite place for...
Yeah. And it's a good place to get started, too.
Yeah.
Like, kind of like, this is familiar ground, we'll start you here, and then we're going to go out, and you don't know where you're going.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, the only thing that has been confirmed is that there are going to be stormtroopers, apparently, in the scenes that are... Or the stormtroopers are in the scenes that are being filmed right now. So, I don't know how that's going to work
flashback.
Out.
Flashback!
No. Right, yeah. Yeah.
But, yeah. Yeah, and then I'm sure we'll start to... More and more info will roll out. I mean, who knows now, like... Luke's role in it, since you know, the expanded universe before was he had, you know, relationships and had kid and stuff, and it's like now it doesn't
reestablish really the Jedi Order like, and all that stuff. Yeah,
yeah, that doesn't look like that's happening in this one per se. So I'd be curious to see.
The one thing that I did respect from the expanded universe was that you go through the original trilogy, and there was sort of this promise that, like, well, if you skimp on your training here, your things are going to go rotten. Mm-hmm. And that was a big part of the expanded universe, is that Luke, like, finding that dark side because he wasn't properly prepared for it.
Mm.
And so I really hope that ends up being at least alluded to in this new series, since it seems like it's going to be jumping pretty far beyond when that would have happened. Mm-hmm. Unless Luke ends up being like the main bad guy or something, which would also be awesome. Joker cackles and stuff like that.
Yeah, because I believe they are setting it, was it 30 years or something after Return of the Jedi? They mentioned it, so that would make sense, the ages of the actors.
Yeah.
I mean, 5 years later, whoa, wow, right. War certainly does age you.
Yeah, I mean, they could have done whatever they wanted technically just by CGing them, but I don't think that would have flown with J.J. Abrams.
Yeah, considering that he had a camera custom built to shoot film, like film for this movie. It's like,
and I know they did it for Tron Legacy, but it was still pretty, like,
it wasn't perfect.
Yeah,
it was kind of cool, but
it was what it was, and at least they made it. It was a character that was already part of the grid, so the fact that he looked a little bit digital didn't totally break things.
Yeah, that's true.
But still, it wasn't quite the same.
Yeah, to me, the biggest problem with the digital characters at this point, save maybe for like Gollum, I think Gollum is like the one character that they managed to pull it off for whatever reason, is that they always end up looking grainy, you know?
Yeah. I would say Caesar, too.
Oh, that's
the new
true.
Ape. Yeah. Which, Andy Serkis is
one of the cast members, yeah.
So I'll be curious to see what he's going to be playing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's going to be Yaddle.
He's Yoda.
Yeah, that was one of the questions. Like, will he be doing his, I'm a virtual actor, or is he actually going to be on set on camera?
I hope
he
gets another shot being on set, since King Kong did not exactly, like, show him off terribly well.
Yeah. And
they'll give him both. We'll have him play.
They should, but we don't want to overextend him.
He'll be in a scene together with the human form and whatever alien or something he's going to play.
Right.
That would be interesting.
Yeah, I keep wondering if his sort of, like, his style of acting is going to end up becoming, like, a really big thing in the future or not. Because, I mean, he's considered mostly a virtual actor.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, really talented at it. Mm-hmm. But it's not something that people point at a lot of other people and say, like, he's a really good virtual actor. So I hope it becomes, like, a bigger thing.
Yeah.
I suspect it will.
Yeah, you're seeing it more and more in video games now, too. Mm-hmm. They do a lot of motion capture
for
a lot of scenes now. They actually have the actors in the tennis ball little, or ping pong ball little suits, and actually, like, acting out the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So imagine, especially if they recognize it in the awards, like, if they start to shine a little more light on it,
I think
it'll probably get bigger.
Yeah, and as the characters that he's played gets more and more recognition, I think it is going to go up, because, like, you know, he got Gollum, like, set him on the map, and then Caesar, like, people were, like, shocked that he didn't get some sort of nomination for that performance. And,
yeah, it was a really good performance in a movie that didn't stand out enough at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
We'll see if it ends up changing any. I have a feeling that it's going to have a similar curse to, like, the previous Planet of the Apes movies. People are going to love it that are into
the movies,
to that genre, but I think it's going to get snubbed every single time. So,
next one, though, it shows him on a horse with a gun. looks pretty cool.
Put your hands off me, dang dirty human.
Yeah. Yeah, their attention to detail at that studio is insane, and that makes the characters. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, but yeah, let us know what you think. Are you excited about the semi-recent cast info release right. for episode 7?
And, mm-hmm. and well, and that's something too. Like, I guess it was supposed to be a preview of what was going to be the full cast list a couple days later, and I never heard what.
I haven't seen anything new yet.
So I don't know if they nixed that or what.
Probably saving it for another. I think there's a. I think a little bit after Comic-Con, there's like a Disney like.
Oh, Star Wars Experience or no? It's like D52 or something like that.
Something like that. It's like all Disney related things. Mm-hmm. Okay. Maybe they're gonna save something for that. Yeah. So, but. Let us know what you think. Are you excited? Are you more excited for the old cast, the new cast? What do you think some of the characters may or may not be? Are you disappointed that there aren't more female leads or characters in general that we know of so far? But yeah, let us know. And Caleb, how can they do that?
You can hit us up on Facebook. Do a search for Robots Attack. It's in that top bar. Two words, Robots Attack. And then you can hit us up on Twitter. We are Robots Attack Me. It's all one word smushed together. And then there's email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, the one place where it has all the information you'd care to know about us, robotsattack.me.
Alrighty, that's going to do it for this week. Coming up next, the Pre-Funk Show. Stick around for great music from
Pre-Funk Show.
Great group of guys. All right, have a great weekend. We will be back next week, 7 to 9. Here on KSU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound. Take great. It easy, everybody. Grape? Is that what you said?
Great.
Oh, great.
Great.
What about grapes?
Grapes are good.
You like grapes?
No? I have no wrath about them. But.
Nah.
Oh, man. It's clever. Very clever.
I see what you did there.
All right, later.
Veronica. Mistel.